Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
And we are live on this Saturday morning, April 13th. Welcome, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me for a time of prayer, reading of scripture, delving into the word of God, which is the word of life, which strengthens and empowers us in our pro-life commitment. And we're going to talk about that again today. I want to talk about it particularly in the realm of the political. Now, just at the outset, let me remind you, we have a political show called Praying for America. It combines, obviously, prayer and scripture and politics every weeknight at 8 o'clock. But the Word of God intersects with politics so much that sometimes just a time of reflection on scripture, which this program is primarily dedicated to, is going to demand some commentary. By the way, I can see your comments. Thank you for them, and put any prayer intentions you wish or any comments or questions at all. But it intersects with the world of politics, and especially the reading today where Jesus is saying, calm, calm. He calms the storm. He gets the apostles off the stormy sea. He reassures them of his presence. We're going to get into that here. And I want to apply it because, my goodness, the political world, especially when it comes to our values and our pro-life commitment, is about as stormy as it's ever been. We'll give you some reassurance about that today. Let's turn to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. We come before you with humility. We are sinners. And we ask your forgiveness for our sins. And we resolve today to do as the apostles did, to, even in the midst of fear, acknowledge your presence, take your hand, and as you calm the seas, we allow you to calm our hearts. Lord, we have to allow you to do it. You have the power to do it. But we need to allow you to do it. Because you can calm the storms in our hearts, and then we can just stir them up again. By pettiness, by anxiety, by giving into fear, of all kinds. Deliver us from evil and protect us from all anxiety. Your Apostle Paul says, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Lord, enable us to do that. Because only then will we have the clarity of mind and the strength of will to accomplish the mission on which you send us. We pray today with confidence. Through Christ our risen Lord, amen. All right. I mean, June, I'm going to address that question quite directly. She says, how do you feel about Trump apparently backpedaling on abortion? The good news is, no, he's not. Don't worry about that. And I'll explain why. There's no action he took in his first term that he has said was a mistake or that he's not going to take in his second term. The Congress is not going to give him a ban on abortion on his desk. They're not there yet. We don't have the consensus yet in Congress. So the question of, oh, what am I going to do with a national ban on abortion? It's all an academic, theoretical, speculative, not going to happen kind of question. Why aren't they asking him, are you going to restore the Mexico City policy? You're going to protect our taxpayer dollars on abortion. Actually, are you going to stop the Democrats from imposing abortion on demand in America? That's the number one question that should be asked. And of course he's going to do that. He doesn't have to say anything. Just by him being elected, it stops that. You understand what I'm saying? It's really very simple to understand. This is not complicated. People are making it so complicated. That's what I want to get into. Let's do the reading, because this reading really applies very well to this whole situation. It's a very stormy situation with politics and pro-life. We got a good audience. It's growing. Come on. Invite others in. This is an important topic. Share the video. Get others to come on in this morning here. We're live, and let's deal with this. All right, let's go to the Gospel according to John. When it was evening, the disciples of Jesus went down to the sea, embarked in a boat, and went across the sea to Capernaum. It had already grown dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea was stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they began to be afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at the shore to which they were heading. Just a little side note, it's kind of a funny story. I think it was Pope Leo XIII. Some artist, having very good will but apparently a little less skill, did a formal portrait of the Pope. Well, it was kind of terrible and didn't really look much like him. And he asked the Pope to, you know, sign it. So the Pope apparently quoted this verse, "Do not be afraid, it is I," on the portrait that didn't look so great. Okay, so the sea was stirred up. The sea of the church is stirred up right now. The sea of America is stirred up right now. The sea in the pro-life movement is stirred up right now. Perhaps for various reasons, the seas of your life are stormy and are stirred up. We are rowing. We don't just sit back in the midst of, you know, stormy seas. We don't just sit back and wait for God to do something. They were rowing. That in itself is a lesson. When it's stormy, we don't give up, we row. We do the work that God has given us to do. Now, can the rowing by itself overcome the storm? Well, it depends how strong the storm is. But we don't let that even be a factor. I want to make a distinction here between clarity and certainty, and it can fuel your strength. If you're in the midst of this, you're in this boat, and the sea is very stormy, the wind, the waves, do you know for sure that your strength can get through that storm? No. You have to trust the Lord, but what do you have to do with your own strength? If the question is, can your own strength match that storm and get you through? It's a maybe. All right, we're going to row this boat, and maybe. So in the storms of our lives, we do our daily tasks. We know we can do a lot of things. We know what we have to do. We know how to do it. And so we go ahead and do it. We're rowing. Do we have the certainty of overcoming every one of these storms? No. But they row anyway because we know what we are doing at that moment, and we know the direction that we're rowing in. They're rowing to the shore. They're trying to get to the other side of the lake. That's the clarity. We know that by rowing in this direction, we are getting closer to where we want to be. We don't have the certainty of when we're going to be able to get there. We don't have the certainty of how much worse the storm is going to get. We don't even have the certainty of how long before our strength gives out. But we have clarity. We know where we're going. We know why we're going. And we know that every step we take gets us closer. Now, brothers and sisters, let me give you the most important concept behind success and perseverance. It is that it's not a matter of measuring how close you are to the goal. You might be way, way, way far behind. It's not a matter of measuring how fast you're moving to the goal. You may have slowed down. You may be thinking of years gone by where you seem to have a whole lot more strength and zeal and seem to be moving a whole lot faster, even physically in your life and spiritually and in relation to your goals. But that's not the relevant point. The relevant point is not how fast you're going. And the relevant point to succeeding and persevering isn't even to calculate how strong the winds and the waves are that are against you. It's not even that. There's only one question. Will you stop or will you keep moving? I remember, I might have told you this story the other day. And I've done so many trips, so many speaking engagements around the country, visited so many churches, been with so many groups, many of you who are watching. We've been together out there in the trenches, and we will be again. And this elderly priest was at one of my gatherings, and he comes up to me afterwards. He was very encouraged by the words that I had to share. And he said to me, he was so intensely invested in what he was saying. He was like shaking and making a point with his finger. And he said, Frank, just remember, you can get water out of a stone if you keep persevering. You keep focused and you keep going. Brothers and sisters, this is the formula for success. Think of the boat in the storm. Are they rowing or do they stop? And are they rowing in the right direction? You have clarity of what you're trying to accomplish. What are you trying to accomplish? You're going to just go around in the storm? Or you don't know which direction you're going? No, they knew what direction they were going. They knew what they had to do to get there. And they knew that by continuing to row, they were getting closer to their goal. Again, they didn't know how much stronger that storm would become. They didn't know how long it was going to take. They didn't know those things. We don't always have certainty. In fact, we usually don't have certainty. We usually have a lot of uncertainty. As we go through the various chapters of our lives and tasks of our day. That just certainty is something very hard to get. It really is. Am I doing things exactly the right way? I know, do I do this? I have to accomplish this task. So do I do it this way, do it that way, or this, or combination of both? The certainty is all usually not there. We get as much advice as we can. We learn from past experience. We think it through. But don't worry about not having certainty. What you need is clarity. That is, you know exactly what your mission is. You know what you are trying to accomplish. That's the clarity. They knew the direction they were going and they knew they had to row. Then another element came into the equation. And this element, the good news is, comes into our equation too. The Lord Jesus walked on that water, assured them of his presence, told them not to be afraid, and lo and behold, he suddenly brought them to the shore. It was a miraculous rescue, if you will, from the storm, and a reward of their labors, because there they were all of a sudden at the shore. Friends, he's with us. Every moment, he's saying to you, do not be afraid. It is I. Now, do not be afraid. It's not simply meant to be an emotional comfort. It's meant to be a strengthening of our will. It's meant to be a strengthening of our focus, our perseverance. Don't get distracted. The other thing, besides, remember, I told you, the main rule is very simple. You don't stop moving. You don't stop. The odds against us in various things can be so overwhelming that the temptation is so great to just throw up our hands in despair. But at that juncture, that's precisely the difference there between whether we're going to succeed or not. We keep on moving. We keep on doing the things that we know how to do each day that move us in the direction we want to go. That's where we have the clarity. We have plenty of uncertainty, but we've got the clarity. And so you don't stop. And you keep turning to the Lord and you hear his words. Don't be afraid. Now, let's apply this to the storm going on right now in the political arena. I told you already, and it's going to get even worse, that we're in a battle for America. And the enemies of America want to destroy our freedom, our Constitution. They want to destroy our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble. They want to weaponize government. They are weaponizing government. We are living in a police state. It is chaos. They want to destroy free and fair elections. You know this. Most of you who follow me regularly, you know this already. They want to destroy. Don't think that they're just people, oh, they mean well, but they have a different idea. They're not people who mean well. They're our enemies. They don't mean well. You know, some people say, oh, Father, you're angry. I mean, of course I am. When I see people trying to destroy the church, destroy the faith, destroy the minds and hearts of our children and the innocence of our children, bringing drag queens not only into libraries and schools, but into churches. You're not angry at this? I wonder, sometimes the people, and not most of you, I mean, there's some occasionally people that come in, maybe they don't watch us too often, they don't understand the context of all these commentaries, and they say, oh, I'm turned off by the anger. And I said, how are you not angry? I mean, if you're not angry, brothers and sisters, at what's going on, either you don't value the things that are being attacked, or you don't realize how much they're being attacked. But when you realize how much they're being attacked and you value the things that are being attacked, something's going to surge up within you. Okay. On abortion in particular, there's so much confusion right now. Don't go along with the spin that the pro-abortion radical left, crystallized, by the way, in the Democrat Party. That doesn't mean those of you who might identify as Democrat are guilty of this. I'm not speaking down to you or against you. I'm saying that the leadership in the Democrat Party has formed a covenant with the leadership of the abortion industry. That's not your fault. So if you identify as a Democrat, listen, you're welcome here. This is, and I do not doubt your faith or even your commitment to pro-life. I've been inspired by many Democrats across the country, grassroots Democrats, and I'm sure some of you here are in that category. Listen, this is not against you. It never has been and never will be. Or just talking about the political reality in America, that the Democrat Party, you look at what the Biden administration is doing, you look at the leadership in the Senate and in the House, you look at many Democrat governors and even state legislators who, I mean, there are exceptions on the state legislator level. There are some good pro-life Democrats. I know them. But there's no question that the abortion industry has hijacked the Democrat Party. Okay, but that's not even the main point. The main point is don't go along with the talking points that abortion is a losing issue. Because once you believe that, and a lot of our politicians do believe that, then they get afraid. Then they get afraid. Oh, it's a losing issue. So, yeah, okay, so what does that mean? All of a sudden we're going to be in favor of killing babies? Well, it's a losing issue. So what does that mean? And we're not going to talk about it? It's not a losing issue. Half the country has increased the protections that we afford to the unborn. And now 14, now almost 15 states, protecting babies from the very beginning of their existence. That's not failure, friends. That's success. Pro-life governors, pro-life legislators being re-elected left and right. That's not failure. That's success. Now, you can lose on the abortion issue if you fumble the way you talk about it. President Trump has emphasized that over and over again. You got to talk about it the right way. And that's why we spend so much time helping people talk about it, think it through. Listen, you show that you're compassionate. And you show that the other side are the extremists. Those are the two pillars of the message. And we'll get into that in other programs. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Deal with the issue. And don't be afraid in terms of President Trump. Look, we have to have some political realism here. The presidential election, it's Trump versus Biden, whether people like it or not. That's how it is. Now, we're going to live under. Now, I'm making a number of presumptions here that things don't so radically and catastrophically change between now and November that one or another of them is in fact not the nominee. But all things being equal, that's how it's going to be. Okay, so it's the choice between these two individuals. Look, Biden and the Democrats want unlimited abortion. They have a bill already. They've already introduced it and voted on it. They have a bill already to eliminate every restriction on abortion everywhere. Parental involvement, limits on late-term abortion, partial birth abortion, informed consent, taxpayer protection of taxpayer dollars from going. All these things they want to get rid of. They want to have absolutely unlimited abortion. Is that the direction we want America to go? And if the answer to that is no, there's only one solution to that. You've got to keep the Democrats out of power. Now, obviously, the movement does a whole lot of other things. We provide alternatives to abortion. We eat into the number of abortions by having the pregnancy centers. We educate people. We strengthen them to do the right thing. All of that, that's the work of the pro-life movement. Right here, we're talking about politics, government, and legislation. And in that arena, brothers and sisters, it's a matter of stopping what the Democrats are doing. So even if we're not saying you had to vote for President Trump, that you have to agree with everything that he says. All we're saying is that you have to recognize one simple fact. If he doesn't get in, the radical abortion Democrats do. So it's like it's not, we don't have the luxury here of saying, oh, but he should be better on this, and he should have said that better, and he should believe this, and he should believe that. For goodness sake, of course, I know what you're talking about. There are no exceptions to abortion. IVF is morally wrong. We can go down the list of things that, oh, it would be great if President Trump should believe this and he should say this and he should do this. I know. But we don't have the luxury right now of saying, well, but if he doesn't believe those things, then I'm not for him. Well, then who are you for? I don't mean to be, I'm not angry at you. Most of you that are watching, you're on the same page with me already, but you've got to again convince our fellow citizens and even some in the pro-life movement, what in the world are you trying to do when you're criticizing the only political candidate for the presidency right now who can actually help us? Yeah, I know. Oh, people will say, oh, but there's this candidate running for president and they're very pro-life, and there's that candidate running for president and they're very pro-life. Yeah, but they're not going to get any nomination or victory. You know what it takes to run for president of the United States? You know the millions and millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars that are required? You know the amount of name recognition that is required even to get one percentage point in the polls? Do you realize the infrastructure that you have to have? And never mind the fact that the two major parties, it's going to be either a Republican or a Democrat, by the way. It's not going to be any kind of third party or independent. You realize the amount of infrastructure they have to have, not to mention the fact that the delegates on both sides have already been claimed by Trump and Biden. They've got the delegates necessary for the nomination. It'll be formalized over the summer. The point I'm making is that, politically speaking, nobody right now can jump into the presidential race and win the presidency. You can't do it. But you know how many people are actually running? These are people that you haven't heard of. Like 800 of them. I'm not exaggerating. 800 plus people. Go to ballotpedia.org. The Ballotpedia is a great source for political information, and look up candidates for president 2024. It's like over 800 people. People whose names we will never hear anywhere. Now, people are so unrealistic about what it takes to run for or win the presidency. So what is our vote then? Our vote is just like a philosophical statement? Is that what you think your vote is? People are talking about voting here. So, I'll vote for President Trump if he once he acknowledges all the different aspects of Christian doctrine that I believe in. That's not what voting is about. Voting is about stopping the destruction of our country. Now, stopping the destruction of the unborn, yes. But you know what? Even if you put aside, let's try this experiment. Say, you know what? Okay, I don't care what President Trump says on abortion. Just do this mental experiment. I don't care what he says about abortion. You can believe and say what he wants. He's not going to be the radical. He's not the radical. He's not Joe Biden. He's not the radical Democrat, abortion without limits, late-term abortion person. Nor is the party that. Okay. So then what is he going to do for us? If he does, even if he does. Now, listen, I know. Listen, I've worked with the Trump team since 2015 as an advisory capacity on pro-life and Catholic issues. I can tell you, things are much better than they appear to be. They're much more pro-life and in tune with this than you think by looking at these media reports. And the proof is in the pudding. Again, look at the accomplishments. And look at which ones of those accomplishments he has explicitly said he would not do again. None of them, zero. He is going to do them again. But that's not even the point I'm making right now. The point I'm making right now is, if you put the abortion issue aside, what are the tools that we need in order to end abortion? Because after all, it's us, right? I mean, it's the pro-life movement. It's us. We have to end abortion. We have to protect the unborn. So what are the tools that we need? Well, we need freedom of speech, don't we? We need freedom of speech. We need freedom of religion. Never mind what President Trump thinks. What do you think? And are you going to be able to exercise your freedom of religion? Are you going to be able to peacefully pray in front of abortion facilities? Are you going to be able to run the pregnancy center? Are you going to be able to organize and take part in a pro-life march? Are you going to be able to have a pro-life bumper sticker on your car? Are you going to be able to express your pro-life views without fear of being thrown in jail? That's the level that we've reached here. And if the Democrats get in, you are going to be thrown in jail for expressing your pro-life views. We've got pro-life people in jail right now, not because they've done anything violent, but because they have peacefully expressed their pro-life position. President Trump is going to preserve those basic freedoms. That's the level at which this fight is right now. So it doesn't bother me whether the nuance or the precision or exactly the categories of how he speaks about abortion line up with mine. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. How do we win this battle? We win this battle by preserving the tools we need in the battle. You know what winning in warfare is about? Think about this. Do you understand the dynamics? In a war, what do you try to do to your enemy? The victory in a war is not to destroy your enemy, kill your enemy. It's to destroy your enemy's ability to wage war. This is a principle of warfare that people are not applying to this whole situation. You take away your enemy's ability to wage war. So a country attacks another country in war. What do they go after? They go after the people. Here, let's just, bomb cities and destroy innocent people. Or do they go after the military bases? Do they go after the weapons facilities? You destroy your enemy's ability to wage war. What's the other side doing to America and to us and to the pro-life movement? They're trying to take away our freedom of speech. They're trying to take away our freedom of religion. They're trying to take away our freedom of assembly. They're trying to weaponize government. Ask Mark Houck. The FBI shows up at his house at 6 in the morning. Is that the kind of America we want? We don't elect President Trump. We're not going to have the tools to fight the pro-life battle. Then even think about the abortion policies. How about the free speech policies? And not only that, look. It's not the man. It's the team. When we elect him, we're bringing in a whole team of people who are even more pro-life than he is and who are going to be in the Department of HHS and in the Department of the Surgeon General and the Department and the FDA and all these different departments. Look at the Supreme Court case on abortion right now in regard to chemical abortion. It has to do with the actions of the FDA. It doesn't have to do with the actions of the Oval Office of the president, but the FDA. What kind of people do you think are going to be brought into all these offices if President Trump is elected? People who are on our side on these issues. We don't get to interview all these people, but I've met a lot of them. And I know the efforts that are underway right now to find the best personnel, those personnel are going to get into these positions. They are as pro-life as I am. I'm telling you right here straight. I've talked with them. I know these people. They're as pro-life as I am. But they're not going to get into the positions in the federal government unless President Trump is elected. People elect Biden, and you're going to be people in there who run Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood become an agency of the federal government, for goodness sake. That's the track that they're on. Listen, friends, don't be afraid. Please, don't. Even some people in the pro-life movement, I don't know what in the world they're trying to do. With all the criticizing of President Trump, it's almost like they're trying to say, oh, let me show you how I'm more pro-life than you are. What in the world good does that accomplish? Who the heck cares? I have a lot more to say about this. I don't want to keep you unduly today. We'll be back live tomorrow. But friends, you see my point. Of course you do. Don't be afraid. It's stormy, but Jesus is in the midst. Don't take the bait of what the other side is trying to do, confuse us, deny us, discourage us. Don't take that bait at all. They're trying to divide us all. Listen, getting behind President Trump right now doesn't mean endorsing everything that he says, agreeing with everything he says. Don't worry about that. He's the guy that can stop the Democrats from destroying the weapons, the tools that we need in the pro-life movement, and stop them from imposing unlimited abortion. If that's what you want to do, listen, have the clarity, not the certainty. Oh, are you sure that this is going to happen? Or he's going to say this, or he's going to do that? What? It's the clarity. Understand the direction we need to go. Which direction do we need to row that boat? And don't stop rowing. Not for 1 minute. The Lord Jesus Christ will get us to the shore. Let's pray. Lord God, we are in such a time of confusion, division. It's just so, so confusing for so many people. But Lord, there are certain points of clarity we can hang on to. Lord God, we want less abortion in this country, not more. We want no abortion. And so, Lord, we don't know how strong the headwinds will get, how high the waves will go. We know the direction we're going, though, and we're not going to stop. You are with us. You are standing there. You are saying, it is I. Do not be afraid. We lift up to you all the efforts of the pro-life movement. We lift up to you everything that's being done today, everything that's being said. May we voters show up in tremendous numbers to protect the unborn and to protect the tools that we have to fight for them. Bless, Lord God, all the intentions of our viewers right now and grant all our needs. And we now sum up our prayers in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray to our Heavenly Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We'll be live tomorrow with the Sunday readings and a lot more scripture to listen to. Stay on, if you will. I want to play a little spot. Listen, we can really use your financial backing. We're working like crazy to educate voters, to strengthen the pro-life movement. We need your help. We can't do it alone. We rely only on you. It's not like Planned Parenthood, you know, gets hundreds of millions of dollars from the government. That's not what we get. We get it from you. And I want to play a little spot from somebody that you know, encouraging you to help us out. And also, spread the word. I know many of you have done. We got a great audience here today. Thank you for sharing the video with others. We love you here. Pray for you every day. We're going to have victory, friends. Let's stick together. God bless you. Thanks for watching.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priests for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.